What kind of role is Wilson University going to play in informing the future of the apostolic movement? And what does that mean to you personally? Stay with us. So welcome today to All Things Apostolic on this first Monday of April 2024. Can you believe we're already into the fourth month of 2024? It seems like it just started yesterday, but here we are, and it is what it is. So we want to work hard, and we want to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish, and we want to fulfill Matthew 6 and 10, which is what Jesus told us to pray. Do you know what it is? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So this is the thing that we have been directed to focus on, not only in our prayers, but that our actions, our deeds, our entire lives, every saint of God, every Christian believer, every apostolic Pentecostal, blood-washed, water-baptized individual should have that as their goal, no matter what they are in life in terms of their career. It should all be focused around the work of the kingdom. And I trust that you understand that. This is why the church is so important to us. There's no institution among man in society in any kind of social construct that is more important than the local apostolic, Holy Ghost-filled Pentecostal church. Don't ever forget that. That's an important thing for each of us to remember. So we thank God on Mondays. We sometimes just are so grateful, overflowing with what God has done and is doing. Yesterday, as you know, was Easter. And did you have a good Easter? And did you have a good church? And did you have a larger attendance on Sunday morning than you normally do? Well, we did. We had a wonderful attendance on Sunday morning, and there were many, many new guests and visitors there, some of them that I was able to personally meet and invite them to come back. I was excited to see the cultural mix of new people that came and were with us in service Sunday morning. Easter is an important time. If you have people that come to church and that's the only time that they come to church in the year, my recommendation would be don't take advantage of that time to potshot them for not being there the rest of the year. Make them welcome and thank God that they're there that one day, and it gives a chance for God to work on them one more time. Amen. And so there are good things happening. Last night's service, I don't know how many we had received the Holy Ghost, four or five. No, there was more than that. There was maybe a half dozen people that received the Holy Ghost last night. And I think several baptized. I saw people gathered around the baptistry. And so those are good things. The whole world needs the gospel. We should never be saying, well, we're big enough. We'll be big enough when the whole world's saved. So there's plenty of work for all of us to do. And other churches are doing good. I've got good reports that have come in. I got the report, although I got it secondhand, but I believe that it's correct that my home church in Kerman, which has been a little country church, a wonderful little country church for decades, and behold, all of a sudden it's blowing up. It's becoming like a church the waves of movement are going out from that church into Central California. It's amazing. And that yesterday they are growing rapidly. Yesterday they had over 400 in service. That has never happened. Not even remotely close to that has ever happened in the history of the Kerman Church. And Pastor Jonathan Sanders and his wife and family and the great workers and people there in Kerman, congratulations to you on a job that well done and that is ongoing and growing. And it's an exciting thing to see. So we trust that across this nation and you that are with us today are also rejoicing that God is giving us good things. Now, I want to spend a little bit of time today talking about the incredible news of accreditation with Wilson University. And we thank God for that. We've talked about that already a couple of times. It's an amazing and important accomplishment. It is a multi-year effort and hundreds of thousands of dollars. It is a commitment on the part of many people for which we are grateful and we are thankful. And Wilson University continues to be a force within our movement, a positive force. It needs to be much more of a force. And, you know, I have people all the time who, or not all the time, often, who express that they want to know more. And so many people in our time are looking for ways to get more in small packages of a few minutes, and then take it and put it in water and let it expand until it becomes something worthwhile. So leadership and great leadership that we all aspire should aspire to in Jesus Christ. We should be thinking that if we're a leader for Jesus Christ, an ambassador, that we ought to be the very best that we can be. And if we're empowered by the Holy Ghost, it ought to be the best leadership in the world. And I mean, unless you don't believe the Holy Ghost is the wisdom of Jesus Christ himself and is the spirit of revelation and guides us and talks to us about how to lead and moves to make and what not to make and corrections and exhortation and guidance and encouragement and assurance. All of that is part and parcel of being an effective leader. And to get that through Jesus Christ is an enormously big thing. So, I mean, I can remember years ago when we first realized that here that there were people that wanted to know what are the things that are inspiring or that causes the growth that we're experiencing. What is it that causes that? What are the secrets in some people's minds? What are the tricks? But I would tell you right up front, I don't know any tricks, but and so out of that, we started, I don't know when this was. This must have been in the late 80s, maybe, early 90s, I'm guessing, somewhere back in there. We started what we called Leadership Summit. The first year or two, we called it Leadership Camp Meeting, but it became Leadership Summit. And we held it every summer. It was in the summertime. And this leadership summit, people would come from all around the country. There wasn't a lot of people. There was usually about 75 that would be there for a leadership summit. They would start on Monday morning, and they would end on Friday afternoon. They were intense. The people that came loved it, but they were intense. We had teaching. We started and went about 8 hours a day. Usually we served food right in the room, like box lunches and bringing in fast food. Usually we never left the premises for the whole 8 hours. And we would just keep teaching. Sometimes while we were eating, we were still teaching. And I did all the teaching at that time, which was, looking back on it, it's a wonder we're alive. This was an exhaustive thing, teaching intensive material for 7-8 hours a day. It was absolutely exhausting. But I was young, and we did it, and it was a great time. We had all kinds of people that came to that, and some people came religiously. We had PhDs that came. We had psychologists that came. We had other kinds of doctoral people who had doctorates there. We had pastors and their wives who would come, and they enjoyed it. We had one PhD there in theology. I think it was from Harvard. And he was one of the authors of the Word Commentary. He came and assessed it, actually, and he said, "Man, this is on the top level." So you know, we felt good about that, and he enjoyed it, it was just a great time. We did not sustain that. We moved towards. We got associated with Patton University in Oakland, which was accredited, in which we put our stuff in theirs, and therefore it made in their matrix. And it was a WASC approved to do that. They were allowed to do that. And so it made our stuff accredited. We taught for nothing. The students had to pay. That it all went to Patton. We were just so hungry to see that apostolic people receive something that we never even thought about whether we were getting reimbursed. And I wasn't the only teacher. There was several others. So there was that. And we did that for several years. And we worked at that. Then we did like a 2 or 3 day deal in different areas around the country where we would go into a region and people from 2 or 3 states would come there and meet. And we would teach for most of that was pastors. And we would teach and spend time together perusing the Word of God and how does this apply to us in a way that makes us effective in our leadership? And how did the apostles and the prophets and all those leaders in the Bible, how did they have the authority and the power that they had? We talked about the resistances that biblical leaders had and how they overcame that resistance and how that some of them could never avoid that resistance. And what is your response to that? Do you get angry and bitter and mad and so forth? So all of that we did. And then we've done Saturday deals where people from several states would come in for a Saturday and go like 4 hours with a great with a break and then with a dinner afterwards where everybody could fellowship. We've done that. And I would say, you know, I hope that all of those things have been effective in helping people. And I know many people it has because we've talked since then. And the product of it is seen in the improvements in their ministry. However, after doing this now for let me just be realistic here. After doing this for at least 43, 45, 50 years, over the period of time, I became convinced it's like going to those meetings are really good and really important for people, but it's kind of like snacking to get the nutrition and the whole, the four basic food groups, as we used to be taught in elementary school, to get the four basic food groups, usually doesn't occur in those because they're selective and the time is limited and the people have traveled to get there. And all of these are considerations that have to be thought of in this process. So, and when I think about, this is one of the things that really gets me. When I think about the profundity of the ministry of being a disciple of Jesus Christ and the value of our life, of which we only have one, each of us, one life, and how the Bible juxtaposes that one life that we have against, literally, against the backdrop of eternity, not against the backdrop of what will men say when you're dead. Most of us would probably say, who cares what they say? Not against the backdrop of did we support our family? Not against the backdrop of a lot of other things that we could use here. But the ministry, not doctors, their final work is not weighted against the backdrop of eternity, or attorneys, or other extremely important people in society to keep society going and to help all of us. Those are important positions, that, and many other important positions. But it's kind of like getting an IT guy, a guy to take care of all of the technology and the internet stuff. Well, in the internet business, there's a lot of specialties. There's a lot of areas people can know, and they're slices, and they're critical. They're important, and the people that do those things are important. But to find somebody that has an overall view and really does have a good grasp of all of those slices, or at least the great majority of them, is challenging and is expensive and is not always easy. But you need that person that sees the whole thing and can say, yeah, that's happening because I can trace this here. I see this is, and this is usually caused by this, and this is usually caused by this. And they move through the labyrinth of possibilities and identify the problem. So in doctors, how many years do doctors work to become, I mean, do you want a doctor working on you who has not gone through those schools? And yet his work is not, in the final analysis, as important in the biggest picture. It's not as important as ministry. So when I see somebody that they're happy if they just have enough money to buy themselves a new car and have a decent home and support their family, and they've kind of negotiated a truce with life and all of their younger dreams and ambitions that they had by listening to preaching, they've kind of negotiated all those away, and time has eroded for them all of those possibilities, that saddens me, and it makes me pray, and sometimes it makes me weep, and sometimes it makes me angry, that we don't respect our Lord Jesus Christ enough to pay the price and go through the rigors, and they are rigors, and to go through the tunnels of spiritual darkness and to become acquainted with all of that without letting it tip you over and destroy you, and to pull down strongholds in our cities and our regions and wherever we are. All of that requires one's entire life, and he can't spend half his life dabbling in this world's business. A soldier, didn't somebody say a soldier entangleth himself not with the affairs of this world? So we need to think about that. I mean, I'm not throwing stones. I'm just telling you the truth. Well, Wilson University is the best answer I know to give us a holistic view and concept and understanding of what this leadership that is so powerful to understand it and understand what it's about. So anyway, I can't spend a lot of time on this today, but I encourage you, I don't care what age you are. I think our oldest student here in my classes, my oldest student, I think, was Brother Jim Shoemake, Bishop Jim Shoemake. And what a student he was. And he just expressed the profundity of stuff that he wished he'd have known a long time ago. But we did the best we could. And in his case, he did incredible. But what can we do if we're equipped in a way that was not available to us, perhaps, in our particular area where we were born, raised, and ministered, but is available now? So talk to us, wilsonu.org. We look forward to hearing from you. God bless you.